If I were to ask you, would you like to live a wise life? I'm sure you would say yes to that. And after all, who wants to live a foolish life or be dumb or worse yet, stupid? As a matter of fact, I suspect that most people think they make wise decisions. It's just that as I listen to them and look at the consequences, I sometimes wonder. So I've concluded that maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe the question is not, do you want to live a wise life? Because, of course, all of us want to do that. Maybe the question is, what kind of wisdom are you following? And beyond that, after you choose a kind of wisdom, what are the benefits of that kind of wisdom? What are the results of following that kind of wisdom? You see, there are different kinds of wisdom. Mm-hmm. There's something called conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom says something like this. I mean, there's thousands of these things. Matter of fact, just for kicks, I went online and typed in conventional wisdom, and I got over 5 million sites that mentioned conventional wisdom or something. But just to give you one example, there is conventional wisdom that says if you're the mother of a newborn baby, you lay the baby on its stomach, right? I know this is Father's Day, but all the mothers, help me here. Am I right? Is that conventional wisdom? Okay. Or are there some more conventional wisdom that says something like, early to bed, early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise? Conventional wisdom. There's something called street wisdom. Matter of fact, we have some people in this congregation who are former and sometimes present street people, homeless. So I went to one and I said, give me a sample of street wisdom. Is there something called street wisdom? And he said, yeah, sleep with one eye open. I don't know how you do that, but that's street wisdom. The way I've heard it is watch your backside, you know, protect yourself. Now, what other kinds of wisdom are there? Are there other kinds of wisdom that we should know about, that we should follow, and what happens if we do? I want to introduce you this morning to a lady who has some insight into the subject about what kind of wisdom we should follow and what we will get if we do. Fascinating story. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Now, if you look at this whole chapter, one of the first things you're going to discover is that it is a long chapter. Now, we have on occasion visited the book of Proverbs, and I have pointed out that the first 9 chapters are not single-line proverbs, but little discourses. And we've looked at those discourses in the past up through chapter 8. Through chapter 7. And that brings us to chapter 8. Now, I've looked at this passage and thought, wow, if I spend 1 minute on each verse, because this whole thing is a discourse, that'll take me 36 minutes. Don't get nervous. But I do want to point out that this is a whole piece of cloth. And it's almost tragic to try to slice it up. So I'm going to attempt to jog through these verses. Maybe a little bit of a run wouldn't hurt in some spots, and in other spots we'll slow down. But I want you to see the whole flow of this passage. For example, verse 1 says, "Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice?" Ah, that's an interesting statement. I would normally read the whole passage at this point, but since it's so long, and we're going to do that as we go through it, I'm going to do it a little differently today. But I just want to pause here and say that what's happening in this whole chapter is that Solomon, who wrote this passage, is using a personification of wisdom as a woman. Now, he did that before, back in chapter 1, and he does it again in chapter 8. So the lady I would like to introduce you to today is Lady Wisdom. She is the one who is speaking throughout this whole passage. Now, here's what she does. She first gives a call. And as we will see very shortly, she calls everybody. And she gives them a command. When she gets their attention from the call, the command is that you would listen to her. And that takes us through verse 11. Then a very interesting thing happens. In verse 12, she says, I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence. She tells us who her companions are and spends most of the chapter, or the rest of it, telling us who her companions are. Then she gives us some counsel at the end. So what we're going to do is just sort of waltz through this passage slowly in places and a little faster in others. And we're going to see her calling us to listen. And then who she likes to live with and the counsel she would give us based on that. So let's begin with verse 1. The first 5 verses are her call. She says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of a high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries by the gates at the entrance of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice to the sons of men. Now, just very simply and very quickly, just mark out where she is. She's calling out everywhere. Look at verse 1. She's on the top of a high hill. She's where the paths meet. We'd say at the intersection down the street. Verse 3, she's at the gates. Now, the gate of an ancient city was the business district. That's where they did all their business. So that's like saying she went to the business district of the city. And then it says she's at the doors, and perhaps here she's talking about being in the door of the house. So as you can see, she's outdoors, she's at the intersection, she's at the business center, and she's at home. She's everywhere calling people to wisdom. We would say today, she was in the sports arena, she was at the shopping mall, she was at the schoolhouse. She's everywhere. And not only that, she's calling everybody. Look at verse 4, to the sons of men, an expression that seems to imply that she's calling everybody to listen to wisdom. More specifically, she says in verse 5, oh, you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. She is calling to everyone, the sons of men, but particularly the simple and the fools. Now, if you heard me as we went through the early chapters of Proverbs, you remember that I talked about who is the simpleton and who is the fool. The simpleton is somebody who is gullible. They're inexperienced. They're naive. They're impressionable. So they can be swayed to go either way. They are an immature person. I have likened them to a junior high school age teenager that's open to every kind of stimuli and is liable to go in any kind of a direction. So wisdom says, I'm addressing this to all, but I'm particularly in simple, those naive, gullible people who may be taken in by the wrong crowd. And then he says, I want to speak to the fools. In chapter 8, he says in verse 5, O fools, be of an understanding heart. The word fool talks about somebody who's thick-headed, who's stubborn, who rejects the wisdom of God. Some of you are looking guilty. You identify with that? You reject God's wisdom. And God says that anybody who does that is acting foolishly. So my point is, in these opening verses of Proverbs 8, Lady Wisdom is calling. And she's calling everywhere to everybody, regardless of your rank in life or your race. She wants all to hear what she has to say. Now, once she has your attention, she gives a command. In verse 6, she says, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They're all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared to her." Now, I'm simply calling this the command that she's giving to us. It basically boils down to this. Lady Wisdom is saying, "Listen to me." As a matter of fact, notice at verse 6, she says, "Listen." In verse 10, "Receive my instruction." And that sort of sums up what she's doing here. You are to listen to it, and you are to receive it. Now, what is it you're to listen to? What is it you're to receive? Well, let me just highlight a couple of words. In verse 6, he says, she says, "I speak excellent things." In verse 6, she says, "I speak right things." Verse 7, "My mouth will speak the truth." Verse 8, "My words, the words of my mouth are with righteousness." So obviously she's saying, "Now listen to me, because I'm telling you the truth." Well, that's why she wants you to listen. Matter of fact, recently, In discussing another subject in a little series we did, I spent a whole session on, do you really want to know the truth? Do you really want to know the truth? If you're going to live a wise, smart life, you got to want to know the truth. I mean, that's just the way it is. I was recently counseling with somebody, and she was trying to go in a direction I didn't think was wise. And I said to her, "Do you want to know the truth?" Now, what do you think she said? Yes. What do you think she did?
No.
Sound familiar? Well, wisdom says, look, listen. Do you really want to know the truth? Listen to the truth. Then she says, in verse 10, "Receive my instruction and not silver, my knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies." Wow. Would you rather have wealth or wisdom? Don't answer that too quickly. Would you rather have wealth or wisdom? I heard a young man recently say that when he was a small boy, he had a family member come to him and say, "Would you rather have friends or money?" Now he thought to himself, now the answer that this relative wants is money. So he said, being a small boy, "Money." And the relative said, "Wrong answer. You should want friends more than money." Sometime later, another relative said to him, I guess this was a family thing, "Would you rather have money or friends?" And he said, I've heard this question before, and I got the wrong answer last time, so I'm going to get the right answer this time. Last time I said money, and it was the wrong answer. So this time he said, friends. Wrong answer. That relative said it should be money. So this fellow said, I decided that what you really needed was friends with money. Great answer. Now, let me tell you about a friend whose worth is greater than wealth. It's Lady Wisdom. Now she says, listen to me. I'm going to give you truth that's more valuable than gold and silver and rubies. Listen to me. Listen to me. So that's the call of wisdom. She's everywhere talking to everybody, pleading, just listen to me and receive what I have to give you because its worth is greater than wealth. All right. Now, who is this lady? We're calling her Lady Wisdom, but who is she? And as I pointed out a moment ago, there are different kinds of wisdom. Which kind of wisdom does she have? Well, look at verse 12. I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence. Now, from verse 12 all the way down through verse 31, she gives us what I'm going to call her companions. So the opening verses give us the call of wisdom, and the heart of the passage gives us the companions of wisdom. This is a case where you are known by the company you keep. And as we will quickly learn, Lady Wisdom, like any good lady, chooses her companions carefully. So she tells us who her companions are. And boy, is this interesting. Look at verse 12. I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence. You want to know who I dwell with? I dwell with prudence. That Hebrew word means to be shrewd, only not in a negative sense. It means to be sensible. Have you ever heard that word before? When we went through Titus, we talked about the fact that it was Paul's favorite word in the book of Titus. He used it over and over and over again. Be sensible. Be sensible. Use your head. Be wise. Now, Lady Wisdom, whoever she is, we're going to find that out shortly. Whoever she is, she says, you want to know who my companions are? They're people who act sensibly. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you sensible? Well, most of the time. All of us do foolish things. Are you sensible? If you want to know Lady Wisdom, you got to decide, I'm going to be sensible. I'm just going to use my head. Now, she says, and find out knowledge and discretion. In a sense, synonyms for prudence, all of which are synonyms for wisdom. Now, what is the opposite of prudence and discretion and knowledge and wisdom? I guess it would be being stupid and dumb and doing foolish things, right? The fascinating thing, and I think this is the heart and the crux of this passage, is that right here, instead of saying that the opposite is foolishness or stupidity or being dumb, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So what she is saying is, I dwell with sensible people, and I don't dwell with people who are evil. I hate evil. Only the way she says it is, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now let me suggest that if you fear the Lord, you will hate evil. If you don't fear the Lord, you will not hate evil. Now we've talked about this little expression, the fear of the Lord, when we were first encountered it in chapter 1. But just to remind you and refresh your memory, that phrase is pregnant with meaning. It means to know the Lord and have a reverential awe for Him, as well as to be afraid if you step out of line. So there's a lot in that word. But basically that word in the Bible means to know the Lord. And as you've heard me explain many times, to know the Lord, you have to trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, for eternal life. He's the one who paid for your sin and arose from the dead. And as you understand that you don't get to heaven by good works, you get to heaven by faith, and you trust in Jesus Christ, then you have what the Old Testament calls the fear of the Lord, because you know Him. Then as you get to know Him who is righteous and just and holy, then as you begin to think like He thinks through exposure to His Word, you begin to detest what He detests, and you begin to hate evil. So that's what she is saying. She's saying, I dwell with the prudent and the wise, and I don't dwell with the evil. As a matter of fact, look at verse 13 again. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. If you'd like to know what we mean by she doesn't dwell with evil, here it is. It's someone who's full of pride, arrogance, a perverse mouth, and evil behavior. Pride was the sin of Satan. It is that I can exalt myself and I can ascend to the throne of God and push Him aside and eliminate Him. I don't need God. That's pride. And that's the root. And the fruit is an arrogant attitude. It is a perverse mouth. It is evil ways. There is a set of commentaries on the Old Testament written 100 years ago by a couple of Germans. One was named Kyle and the other was named Delitzsch. They are really heavy-duty commentaries. I sometimes read them, but it's tough because a lot of what they say is in Hebrew and Latin. So you got to filter through all that to figure out where the good stuff is. But on this passage, they said something. Delitzsch said something. It's one of the finest things I've ever heard on this subject, and one of the finest things I've ever read in that set of commentaries. Here's what he said. The virtue of all virtues is humility. Therefore, wisdom hates above all else self-exaltation in all its forms. And all the forms are listed in verse 13. An arrogant attitude, a perverse mouth, and evil behavior. So you want to know Lady Wisdom? She isn't about to be introduced to you if your ways are evil. She will have none of that. She dwells with prudence and she hates evil. So, counsel is mine and sound wisdom and I am understanding and I have strength, but I don't dwell with evil or evil people. I dwell with wise. So her companion is first and foremost sensible people who hate evil. Now, she does something interesting. She says, verse 15, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice, and by me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. And I looked at that and I thought, what is she telling me? That she is the companion of politicians? I thought she just said she hated it. Never mind. That was bad. But that's what she's saying. That she is the companion of rulers. Does that mean all rulers? Obviously not. Well then, which rulers does she dwell with? And the answer is, verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. She says, I dwell with rulers. And by the way, the point is, if you have any position of ruling, the one thing you need is wisdom. If you're in any management position, you need wisdom, which is the skill of dealing with people. It's one of the aspects of wisdom according to the scripture. So she says, if there are rulers who love me, I'll dwell with them. And every ruler, whether it be president or a lowly manager over two other people, all in between, all need wisdom. When President McKinley was sworn in as President of the United States, he had a prayer which said, and I quote, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go in and out and come before this people that are so great." He had the sense, as Solomon of old, to pray for wisdom. So her companions are rulers who love wisdom. And so she says, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness and in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Now, at the beginning, I said, what kind of wisdom should we follow? We still really haven't identified this lady called Lady Wisdom. But she's telling us, she told us early in the passage, I'm worth more than gold and silver and rubies. And now she is saying riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, better than silver. I will cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasure. So she's saying, again, that I dwell with rulers and I give them riches and honor. So we're picking up some of the things you'll get if you're introduced to and walk with Lady Wisdom. But we still don't know who she is. All we know at this point is she's calling us to listen and that she dwells with the prudent and she dwells with the princes of the world who rule. But who is she? Who is she? Keep reading. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was even an earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountain abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth of the fields or the perennial dust of the world or the primeval dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters could not transgress his command, when he marked out the fountains of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Wow, what a mouthful. Now, I could go through all these verses and explain them, but we obviously don't have the time. But let me just tell you that this is a poetic expression of wisdom being present with God when he created the world. Now, what does that tell you about wisdom? I suggested that there are different kinds of wisdom. That there is conventional wisdom. That there is street wisdom. I didn't mention the wisdom of the ages. I'd like to introduce you to the lovely Lady Wisdom that I would call eternal wisdom. She existed before there was man or woman. She existed before there was an earth or a heaven. She existed before all of creation. She was with God in the beginning as he created the universe. This is eternal wisdom. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks about the eternal all-wise God. The kind of wisdom I would like to introduce you to is the eternal wisdom of God. One of the very attributes of God is wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, Solomon is taking that attribute of God and he is personifying it in the form of a lady. But don't miss the point. This is one of the very characteristics of God himself. Now, some have come to this and recognized that God was involved, and they've tried to make this wisdom a form of the pre-incarnate Christ. I do not think there's anything in this passage that suggests that this is the pre-incarnate Christ. As a matter of fact, I think there's some things in it that indicate it's not the Lord. Namely, it's Lady Wisdom, not Mr. Wisdom. So that I do not think this is a reference to the Lord. And by the way, just because I know some of you might appreciate this, this passage has been said to be a reference to the Lord, and then they actually used it to refute the deity of Christ. In verse 22, it says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning." And they say that Hebrew word can mean create, and they then want to make Jesus Christ a created being. And they use this passage, or have used this passage in the past, to demonstrate that. But that isn't what's going on. What's going on here is that we are being told that one of the very characteristics and attributes of God himself is wisdom. Here in Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to come back and turn to James chapter 4. And let me put all of this in very practical perspective. James chapter 4. James talks about two kinds of wisdom, one of which I haven't mentioned yet. In James chapter 4, James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Then he says, "If you have bitter envying and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth." What does that sound like? Does that sound like Proverbs 8:13? The pride and the arrogant and the people who are self-exalting themselves? That's what he's talking about. Verse 15, "This wisdom does not ascend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic." Hey, there is a conventional wisdom, there is a street wisdom, there is wisdom of the ages, there's an eternal wisdom, there's a demonic wisdom. Which are you going to follow? Well, James says there's a wisdom that comes from the devil himself. Keep reading. Verse 16, "And where envying and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." What I want to show you is that the New Testament says there is a wisdom that is from above. That's godly wisdom. There is a wisdom that is eternal. And in Proverbs chapter 8 and in James chapter 3, the essence of this wisdom is the opposite of self-assertion, self-seeking, and self-exhortation. It's the opposite of pride and arrogance and evil. It is that I want to get to know the Lord in all humility and learn His wisdom from His Word. So the question is not, do you want to be wise? Everybody wants to be wise. The problem is too many are wise in their own eyes. And they have a different kind of wisdom than God's wisdom. The question you ought to be asking is, what is God's wisdom on this subject? What is the eternal wisdom that I know will last? Not just what is the conventional wisdom of the moment or the street wisdom of the day. But what is the eternal wisdom of God on this subject
that I'm grappling with in my life right now? Now, with that in mind, go back to Proverbs chapter 8 one more time. Lady Wisdom has given a call, an invitation to all, everywhere, to come and listen, because she has eternal wisdom to offer. And throughout the discourse so far, we've heard that she might give riches and honor, something worth more than wealth. But now she gives us her counsel directly in verse 32. And the benefit comes clearly into focus, and it is awesome. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor with the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. For all those who hate me love death. Now just look at the passage for a second. What is the benefit of following God's wisdom? What is the result? Well, she says, verse 32, blessed are those. Verse 34, blessed is the man. It's blessing. It's blessing. But what is the blessing? Verse 35 is the great climax of the passage, in which she says, if you find me, you find life and obtain favor of the Lord. If you will simply seek out, date, court, be engaged to, and marry Lady Wisdom, let me tell you, the children you too will have is life and blessing and the favor of God. Now let me ask you, not do you want to live a wise life, but what kind of wisdom do you want to have? And the wisdom that you're following, what is it leading to? Does it lead to life and favor with the Lord? Only eternal wisdom does that. Only having a heart that says, I want to know the Lord, and I want to know His wisdom, and I want to do what His wisdom says, is going to lead to blessing and life and favor with the Lord. I don't know about you, but in my better moments at least, of all the things I want on this earth, the thing I want most and have for most of my life, I want the hand of God's blessing on me. Amen. 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 Hence our prayer, Lord, bless Lindley. Lord, bless me. Read the Bible. From the very beginning, God says to Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. And all the way down through 1 Peter, render a blessing instead of a curse. A great big issue in this book is having the blessing of God. It's doing what you have to do to win His favor. And the glorious part of that is to get the favor of eternal life, you have to do nothing. Jesus already did it all. He died for you. And all you have to do is trust Him, and His death is the payment of your sin. But beyond that, if you want God to smile on your life, if you want the favor of God so that you're not just existing, you're living, then you have to live according to His wisdom and according to His word. Now, of course, there is an alternative. Would you like the alternative? Be wise in your own eyes. Do what you think smart. Follow conventional wisdom. Now, I'm not saying all conventional wisdom is wrong. It isn't. Some of it's right on. But you know that thing about laying a baby on its stomach? They've now decided you should lay a baby on its back. You know? And I know some people who went to bed early and rose early, and they aren't healthy, wealthy, or wise. But I can tell you this. If you follow the wisdom of this book, God will bless you. I have His word on it. Right? But let me tell you what the alternative is. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 35 says you'll find life and favor with the Lord. Verse 36 says, and he who sins against me, he who sins against wisdom, he who sins against the eternal wisdom of God, he who turns his back on the Lord, wrongs his own soul. The word soul, by the way, isn't some little mechanism that's in you or part of you. The Hebrew word and the Greek word both mean life. You are going to wreck your life. But look at the last phrase in verse 36. All who hate me love death. Wow. Get the contrast. If you follow Lady Wisdom, there's life with all of the children pertaining there to that wedding. And if you don't follow Lady Wisdom and you follow some other kind of wisdom, thinking you're wise in your own eyes, the result is death. The death of a marriage, the death of a business, the death of a relationship, maybe even physical death. And having rejected Jesus Christ, it's eternal death. All kinds of death. But it's death. Not to follow the Word of God is death. Not to live smart is worse than just being dumb. It's death. Anybody who hates the wisdom of God is suicidal. They're going down a road of self-destruction. So pardon me if I raise my voice. And pardon me if I get just a little bit emphatic about this. Because if you aren't doing what we're talking about today, you're headed for a cliff. And if you go over it, you plunge to your... You got it. Am I coming through? Now, do I need to come sit down beside you and put my arm around you and ask you, what kind of wisdom are you following? What are you doing? Are you killing yourself? Are you following the wisdom of God? Let me sum it all up. I think what this passage is telling us is that God's wisdom, dwells with those who know the Lord, who are trying to act sensibly, who are trying to follow the Lord, and who hate evil. And what they get is life. And to not do that is to result in death. Let me put it another way. This passage says God used wisdom when He created the world. You mean to tell me God created the world and He had to have wisdom and you think you're going to live your life without it? This is telling us that God's wisdom is eternal. And we go around chasing the latest instead of what is lasting. We follow our wisdom. Well, I'm just going to tell you. To not follow wisdom is to be self-destructive. To not follow God's wisdom is to end in death. Let me illustrate and I'll quit. I once didn't follow wisdom. Street wisdom. And almost got myself in very serious trouble. For a short period of time, I taught a class in a church in South Central Los Angeles. There was a couple in the church that asked if I'd come over to their house and help them with some financial decisions they had to make. So one evening, I got in my car and I drove to South Central Los Angeles. And I got lost. Now, don't do something stupid, Kokoros, but get a phone and find out where to go. So I got a phone well lit, and I got out of my car in all my white glory, and I walked up to that phone, and I violated one of the cardinal rules of street wisdom. Watch your backside. And three teenagers came up behind me and said, "Give me your money." And then I did something real stupid. I said, "No."
No.
There was a bit of a scuffle. And one of them took out a blackjack and clobbered me in the head. Thank God it wasn't a gun. But you see, I thought I was being smart. I did it under the light, right? But I didn't watch my backside. If you violate wisdom, you will do it to your own destruction. So please, I beg you, in whatever decisions you have to make in the next coming days, get out on your face before God and say, "Lord, what is your wisdom about this?" And seek it out in His Word, because that's the only path to life, and the alternative is self-destruction. Got it? Let's pray. Father, thank You for being who You are, our Father. And thank You for giving us Your Word, Your wisdom. Now, Father, we pray for Your grace that we may do all that we find in Your Word to do, so that we can have Your blessing on our lives, and so we can really live and live life to the fullest instead of being self-destructive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.